I'd like to read a verse from the Bible in John's Gospel, chapter 4, in the edition of the Bible I've got. It's on page 1271. John's Gospel, chapter 4, and verse 42. And they said to the woman, "It is no longer on account of thy saying that we believe, for we have heard him ourselves, and we know that this is indeed the Saviour of the world." My desire in preaching the gospel tonight is that everybody who's here might go out of this room knowing for themselves that the Lord Jesus Christ is the Saviour of the world. And not only the Saviour of the world, but your own personal Saviour. That would be a marvellous thing if everyone goes out to this hall tonight. I don't know how many people here have already come to know the Saviour. I know some people who have, but I don't know everybody here. So I don't even know whether you've come to know the Saviour or not. I know this, that I've come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as my Saviour. And I'm glad of the opportunity to be able to tell about this wonderful Saviour who is the Saviour of the world. I don't know how many people there are in the world. Every now and again people have census and estimate the populations of the world. I understand that several billion people live in this world. And God knows everyone. He knows all about you and all about me. He's the heart-knowing God. He knows you and knows me through and through. He knows everything we've done in our lives, and all we've thought, and all we've done, and where we go, and how we live, how we've spent our time. He knows everything about us. He knows our state of health. He knows our mental state. He knows everything about us. God's the heart-knowing God. And in his wonderful goodness, he has provided the Lord Jesus to be the Saviour of the world. You know, it's one of the things that's impressed me in the past week. I've met quite a few different people in different states, moral states and physical states. And the wonderful thing is that whatever kind of mess anybody's got their lives into, you can say this, that the Lord Jesus Christ is the Saviour of the world. He's a Saviour for everybody. You know, you can carve up the world in all kinds of ways, can't you? You can say people are British, or Australians, or Canadians, or whoever they are. You can carve up the world politically. And the Lord Jesus Christ is the Saviour for every nation. You can think of people economically. Some people are very rich. Some people are beggars, they have no money, no possessions, no homes, no nothing. And the Lord Jesus Christ is the Saviour for the richest person and the poorest person. Some people seem to live quite ordinary, steady lives, you know, go on from year to year and year after year, and eventually they die. Other people seem to have turmoil in their lives all the time. Dreadful upbringings, foster homes, nobody to care for them, nobody wants them, no family ties, unstable environments. The Lord Jesus Christ is the Saviour for those in stable environments and those that nobody wants. He's a wonderful Saviour. He's available to everybody. Everybody, that means you. That means me. Thank God it means me. I've come to know this wonderful Saviour. He's the Saviour of the world. I don't know if you know you need a Saviour. A lot of people today don't. They don't think they need a Saviour. They don't think there's such a thing as a Saviour. Some people don't believe in God. But you know, we do need a Saviour. The world needs a Saviour. I met someone the other day. He's a chaplain. He said to me, "This country is going to the dogs." Terrible thing. Moral find there isn't a country like this. Going down and down and down. And it won't get any better publicly. I don't think it'll get any better. God's presenting to people in this country a saviour for the world. It doesn't matter what kind of society. There's a saviour for the world. And the world needs a saviour. You need a saviour. God created people like you and me that we might live happy lives. That we might live lives in the enjoyment of the love and favour of God, and that we might be for His pleasure. And sin has come into this world and spoilt everything. And people in this world have gone off at a tangent from God. Where is it going to end up? I'll tell you what it ends up. I'll tell you what it ends up for the sinner. It ends up in the lake of fire. Unless we turn to God in repentance and find a Saviour in Jesus. You know, there's a hymn that says, this world to doom is passing, and you are passing too. You need a Saviour. You need someone to take control of your lives. I know people today think they can take control of their own lives. You know, they get educated and so on, and learn to read and write, and fit into society, and be able to carry on business and all these kind of things, and there's a welfare state and so on. That's not enough. It's not enough. We, every one of us, need someone to take control of our lives. We're not able to take control of our own lives and take control of our own destinies. We need a Saviour. And the wonderful thing is that God has provided a Saviour in Jesus. Saviour for everybody. It says here, the Saviour of the world. I love that expression. The Saviour of the world. Nobody's outside that range. The Saviour of the world. Remember that. God's interested in you. And Jesus came into the world. God sent His Son into the world to save you and to save me and to change our lives. Make them different. Give us a hope. A hope for the future. Peace in relation to your past. Joy for the present. Hope for the future. Somebody told me that last week. It was a Jewish man. Told me that. That's what you get. And you get it in Jesus. Wonderful thing that a Jewish man can find that. And we who are not Jews, who are Gentiles, can find that too. Because it's the same message that went out to the Jews who'd put Jesus on the cross and who'd cried out, crucify him. The same message went out to everybody in the world. The same message, the same Saviour, the same way of salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. There's no difference. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Tells us in the Bible, that's you and me and everybody else. But it's also true, there's no difference. The same Lord of all is rich towards all who call upon Him. Doesn't matter who calls upon the name of the Lord, you can be saved. Saved now, and saved for glory. You need a Saviour. I need a Saviour. Everybody needs a Saviour. We're all down all the same. From that point of view, we're all sinners. Irrespective of how you like to categorise people in this world, one thing can be written, everybody in this world, all have sinned. So far as God's concerned, all have sinned. Maybe you've sinned different kinds of sins from me. But the truth of the matter is, all have sinned. And all need a Saviour. And God has provided in Jesus a Saviour for the world. But you know, it's one thing to hear about a Saviour. It's another thing to know the Saviour. And it's a great day in your life when you personally come to know the Saviour. When you get an anchor for the soul. When you get an attachment to a person. who can help you solve your problems in life and solve your problems for eternity. He's a wonderful Saviour, as the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible, this book in the Bible, and other books of the Bible are full about people who came to know the Saviour for themselves. And these people who came out to see Jesus and listen to him said to someone, it wasn't only on account of what that person said, and she was a good witness for Jesus, it wasn't only on account of that, but they'd heard Jesus for themselves. And they knew that he was indeed the Saviour of the world. Now I would like you this evening to hear Jesus for yourself. I don't know if you've ever heard him before. You know, there's a man in the Bible, a boy in fact, and he was told to say, speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. I'd like you to get past anything that I might say and to hear Jesus for yourself, so that you might come to know him for yourself if you've never got to know him before. It's a wonderful day in your life when you really know the Lord Jesus Christ for yourself. You know, the person that we read about in the Gospel, the Saviour of the world, is not in this world now. He's in heaven. He's at the right hand of God. But he's a real person, and he's really alive, and he's really changing people's lives today, as he did when he was here. He's a wonderful person. He can change your life if he hasn't changed it already. But you need to come to know him. Know him for yourself. Now, God can speak in different ways. Jesus speaks in different ways to people. I know people when Jesus spoke to them through reading the Bible. I can say this quite truthfully, that the Lord Jesus often speaks to me as I read the Bible. Something just hits me between the eyes as I read the Bible. Jesus speaks to me that way. He can do that. He can do it through a gospel meeting. He can do it in other ways too. Jesus can speak through circumstances. He says, behold, I stand at the door and I'm knocking. He wants entrance into your life, entrance into your mind and into your heart and into your conscience. And change your life and give you this peace and this joy and this hope for yourself that centers in him, the Saviour of the world. As I said, this book's full of people who came to know the Saviour. I want just to tell you first of all about what Jesus has done. He came into this world to be the Saviour. A Saviour was born to you, it says, in David's city, who is Christ the Lord. It was announced he would be the Saviour as he came into the world. And here was people, as he walked through this world in his time of service, who referred to him as the Saviour of the world. But he went to the cross at Calvary in order that he might become our Saviour. He went to the cross at Calvary to atone for sins. He went to deal with my sins. My sins that stood out against me. Because you know, God holds us responsible for our sins. He does. Your sins that you've committed, the lies you've told, the things you've done that are evil, God holds you responsible for them, as he holds me responsible for them. How are they going to get taken away, these wicked things I've done and you've done? Who could take them away? You can't take them away yourself before God. You might forget about them. You might try and shut them out of your mind. You might try and occupy yourself with all kinds of things to forget about the evil things you've done, but there they are, they stand out against you until someone can take them away. The wonderful thing is that the Lord Jesus Christ bore my sins in his body on the tree. He died on the cross at Calvary to atone for sins. And everybody who puts their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ can be able to say, the Saviour died for me. Wonderful thing to know that the Saviour died for you. And he took your sins away when he died on the cross. He died there. He shed his precious blood. He endured the wrath of God. He went into the grave and then he rose. So we're speaking about a living Savior. A living Savior with all powers in his hands in heaven and upon earth. I met a man yesterday. He was a jockey. He'd been very successful. He won the Grand National 3 times. And his life's in a mess today. And he started telling me about his life. And I thought to myself as he told out about his life as it is now, I said, I don't know how to solve that man's problems, but I know somebody who can. Wonderful thing to be able to point to somebody who can solve anybody's problems. Wonderful thing to know the Lord Jesus Christ as your own personal Savior. Do you know him? Have you a living link with him? I'll tell you about some of the people in John's Gospel who came to know the Lord for themselves. One time, you know, there was a man who saw Jesus walking along, and he said, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." That was a good preaching, wasn't it? A short one. "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." The next day he saw Jesus, "Behold the Lamb of God." And this man who was called John the Baptist had some disciples, had some followers. And when he heard John saying, "Behold the Lamb of God," they followed Jesus. They got to know Jesus. They got to know where he stayed. And they stayed with him that day. The Lord Jesus wants you to come and get to know him. And stay with him. Stay in his love. Stay in the enjoyment of a living link with him. Wonderful thing to the living link with Jesus. Great thing to come, you know. When these two disciples left John and they followed Jesus, they said to him, "Where abidest thou?" He said to them, "Come and see. Come and see." And he came. And they found out it was so wonderful. One of them immediately went to his own brother. He went to his brother. And he told him about the Saviour. You know, once you come to know the Saviour, you want other people to get to know him as well. Wonderful thing to come to know the Saviour. The Saviour of the world. Your Saviour. My Saviour. Do you know the Saviour for yourself? Have you ever come? Come to him. He would appeal to you as he appealed to people long ago, "Come to me, all ye who labour and burdened, and I will give you rest." He wants to give you rest. Rest to your troubled life. Rest to your conscience. Peace to your conscience. Joy to your heart. You can get a conscience at peace. Why? Because you know all your sins that stood out against you were borne by the Lord Jesus in his body in the tree. Have you got that experience? Have you come to know Jesus for yourself? We get more people in the gospel that came to know Jesus. We get a man who was a very religious person in John's gospel. He was a ruler of the synagogue. He was a man with a reputation. You know what he did? He came to Jesus by night. You know, you can come at any time. You don't need to come in a gospel preaching. You can come at any time. Come by day. Come by night. Jesus doesn't go to sleep, you know. Many people have come to know Jesus in the night. They've heard something. Something's happened to them. They get worried about it. Their conscience gets troubled. They come to Jesus in the night. He doesn't go to sleep. When he was here, he went to sleep. Went to sleep in a boat, for example. But he's not going to sleep now. He's at the right hand of God. He's available every day, every night. 24 hours of the day, Saviour. He's a wonderful Saviour. To a man who came to him by night, he had a reputation. But you're frightened about what somebody might say about you. If you become a Christian, if you become a believer in Jesus, people are frightened about that. You've got a reputation to keep up. People think I've gone all religious, all queer, if I become a Christian. You can understand that. Nicodemus had a reputation to keep up in the society in which he lived. And Jesus, he was just a nobody. But he knew that man had something. And the Lord Jesus has got something. And he's got this something that will meet your need now and meet it for eternity. Nicodemus came along. You know what Jesus said to him? You must be born again. That must have shaken him. You must be born again. He said, how on earth could that happen? How could a man be born being old? He couldn't understand what Jesus was talking about. Jesus said to him, you had to be born again. You've got to make a new start. Something new's got to happen. Nicodemus listened to Jesus. He didn't become a Christian right away, you know. Maybe you're like that. Maybe you've heard the gospel before. And you still don't know the Saviour. I heard the gospel a good number of times before I came to know the Saviour. Thank God he kept appealing to me. Maybe you've heard the gospel before. Nicodemus heard the gospel. And eventually, he came out and identified himself with the Lord Jesus Christ. Eventually, he became a follower of Jesus. Eventually, he put his trust, we might say, in the Savior of the world. And he became the Savior of Nicodemus as well. In this chapter in John's Gospel, we read about a woman. Her life was in a mess. Jesus came along one day and he sat by a well. His disciples went away to get food. And he was sitting all alone by the well. And she came out to get water. Jesus was tired. But there he was. He was available to that woman. He's available to you. He's available to you now. He might not be available forever. Well, you see, why not? Because this is the day of God's grace. This is the day when God is holding the door of blessing open to everyone. This is the day of salvation. This is the day when God is presenting to everybody throughout the world the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. One day this day of grace will end and there will be a day of judgment. Judgment's going to come on this world. God's not going to let the world go on as it is forever. God's not going to let this world go to the dogs forever. One day the Lord Jesus is going to come back here. One day there'll be God's judgments on the earth. One day Jesus is going to come and put everything right here by judgment. If you don't know Jesus as your Savior, you'll one day know him as your judge. But now is the day of salvation. And Jesus sat in that well and was available to the woman who came out, just as he's available to you, and available to you, to me, that we might get to know him for ourselves. And you know, Jesus spoke to that woman, and she spoke to him. You know, God's prepared to reason with you. You can go and talk things over with him. Jesus is prepared to listen to you. You can go to him, pour out all your troubles, all your problems, tell him all about everything. He's prepared to reason with you. But the wonderful thing is, he's waiting there to be your Savior. And he was waiting at that well to be her Savior. He tells her about the wonderful things that he's able to give. And you know, the Lord Jesus is able to give wonderful things. Living water. She was come out to get natural water. We all need natural water. No, we've got to drink. We'll die. Jesus tells her about something more wonderful. Living water. And if you get this living water, you'll never thirst forever. Wonderful thing to get this living water. You can only get it from one person. That's from the Savior of the world. Wonderful thing to have a transaction with the Savior of the world. And get this living water for yourself. You can get it tonight, right now. Get this wonderful gift, the gift of the Holy Spirit, as you repent and put your faith in Jesus. You can get the blessings that have been flowing out from the Savior of the world. Jesus tells her about herself. He says one thing to her that exposes this woman's past life. You know, Jesus knows all about you. He knows all about me. He knows about everything I've done. He wants to be your Savior. The Savior of the world. To be your Savior. And the way to get salvation is to repent. To say, I'm wrong. You know, that's a big stumbling block today. I know people today, when they hear about the gospel, say, I wish I could get it. But you know, we need to do something on our part. We don't need to do penance. We don't need to say a big long speech. But we need to accept that we're wrong. Each of us need to accept we're sinners. We need to accept that we have sinned against a holy God and done evil in his sight. And we need a Savior. We need somebody to take away our sins. And we turn to Jesus and accept God's man, God's Savior, the Savior of God's providing. And that's what this woman did when she repented. And the Lord Jesus Christ filled her life, filled her heart. Where did she go? She went and told others about him. She says, come see a man who told me all things I'd ever done. Is not he the Christ? People were so affected by her. She became an effective witness for Jesus because he had filled her heart and changed her life. And he wants to fill your heart and change your life if he's never done it before. She came to know the Savior for herself. The people came out and they listened to Jesus. And they said that it was no longer an account of our witness because they had heard Jesus himself and knew that he was the Savior of the world. I'll tell you about one other person in John. You can read about him in chapter 9. He was a different kind of person. He was a beggar. He was a blind man. And he was a beggar. Well, you see, he was socially disadvantaged. So he was. He was born blind. And he was a beggar. But he came to know the Savior. The Savior of the world. He came to know him for himself. Jesus saw him. He saw him. As he passed along, he saw him. Think of Jesus looking down tonight and seeing you. You say, nobody cares about me. Nobody's bothered about me. Nobody cares whether I live or whether I die. Nobody knows all about my troubles. Nobody understands me. Jesus does. I'll tell you this, if nobody else does, Jesus does. In the Psalms, one of the psalmists says, nobody cares for my soul. You couldn't say that. I couldn't say that. And there's not a person in this world today who could truthfully say that nobody cares for their soul, because Jesus cares for their soul. And he's cared so much for your soul, he's gone to Calvary for you and died for you. He gave himself a ransom for all. That includes you and me, thank God. He gave himself a ransom for all. So you could not say truthfully today, nobody cares for my soul. Jesus knows you through and through. And he saw this man blind from birth. He tells the man what to do. He spits on the ground, makes mud of the spittle, anoints the man's eyes. You see, what a funny thing to do. What a funny thing to do. You know, the way of God's salvation is a strange means of helping people. It's not the way that the psychiatrists of the world go about things. Not the way the doctors go about. Not the way the lawyers go about. not the way anybody in this world who works according to man's principles go about things. God's way of salvation is special. And it's quite different from all man's schemes of improvement and all that kind of thing. But Jesus made mud of spat in the ground, made mud of the spittle, anointed the man's eyes, told him what to do, to go to Siloam and wash. And you know, God's gospel is preached tonight not on a take-it-or-leave-it basis. God is sending out his message, and he's commanding all men everywhere to repent. Not an optional thing. If you want the best blessing of God eternally, it's by obeying God's commandment in the gospel to repent and put your faith in Jesus. And the man repented, the man went, did what Jesus told him, and he came back seeing. And when people asked him about it, about what had happened, he said, a man called Jesus had helped him. Do you know this man called Jesus? Well, you say, what a simple thing to say, a man called Jesus. Thank God there's a man up there and he's called Jesus. And he's got a name above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow. A man called Jesus is alive in heaven tonight. And a man called Jesus is the Savior of the world. And a man called Jesus wants to become your Savior. And when people challenged that man as to what had happened, he says, one thing I know, that being blind before, now I see. He knew the Savior of the world, and nobody could shake him. He had an anchor for his soul, and God wants you to have an anchor for your soul if you've never had it before. I would urge you, if you never had this experience, to come in faith and come in repentance and put your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. May everyone here know the Savior of the world for themselves. Amen. Sing hymn 466.